You're listening to the Displaying Grace podcast, where we equip and encourage women to thrive in their walk with Jesus every day. We're your hosts, Michelle and Jessica. Grab your coffee and your Bible, and let's follow him together. Welcome to episode 5 of the Displaying Grace podcast. Today, we want to talk to the mom who battles anxiety and depression.
Maybe not even mom. The woman who battles anxiety and depression.
Yes. We want to let you know that we know that anxiety and depression is real. It is a real thing that people face every day. But we want to throw in a disclaimer here, too, that we are not doctors. So we cannot diagnose any symptoms, and any information that you hear on the podcast today is just going to be strictly our personal experience. So we know that anxiety and depression looks different for every woman that's out there. And like we said, it's a real thing that women face every day.
I think it's something super common in our culture right now. It's something super just really prevalent. It, for a lot of people, for men and women, I know my husband struggles with some of these things, and it's not just us. I think we see it a lot more in women than we do in men, but it's still just as prevalent across the board.
Right, for men too.
We see it more and more now, and I think it's just. I like the way Joe Novenson put it in a podcast that he did with Nancy Guthrie called Help Me Teach the Bible. And he talked about how he struggles with anxiety and depression. And I love what he said. He said that it's evidence of the fallen world in him. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it more and more because we're seeing how much the culture is changing and how, things are wrapping up here on the earth as it seems to be appearing to us based on scripture. But it's becoming more and more prevalent, I think, because of that reason. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of struggles and trials that people are walking through. And so it's almost like our mind immediately defaults to a place of fear and anxiety and sadness as a way of coping with or dealing with the situations that are happening around us.
And I think especially for us as Christians, maybe even the fear of the unknown. The known but the unknown. We know that the world with this, the signs of the times is coming to an end. And, you know, not knowing when you look at the news and all of the things on the media, you see all of these bad, horrible things that are happening, and it does make you fearful for the unknown of what's going to happen next.
And I think too, even staying in the vein of Christianity and how things like this sort of get swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. We sweep them to a place where we don't talk about it, or Christians don't deal with stuff like that, or whatever term you want to insert here. I think it becomes like a stigmatism sort of where, well, if you love Jesus, you shouldn't be sad. Or if you love Jesus, you shouldn't be afraid. If you have a relationship with Jesus, these things shouldn't be a problem for you. And I think that's a lie. Mm-hmm. Because we may be saved, we may be redeemed women. That doesn't mean we don't deal with a very real enemy who wants to keep us in a place of being crippled by our emotions and our minds.
Right.
And so we have to stop looking at it as a
taboo subject.
Right.
Or something not to talk about. And I heard somebody say, you wouldn't go up to someone in a wheelchair and say, well, if you had more faith, you could get up and walk.
Oh, but people do.
Well, that's probably true. But, you know, it's the same thing with anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. If someone looked at you and said, if you just prayed a little harder, or if you just had a little more faith that God could heal you of this, then you wouldn't have anxiety and depression. And that's just not true. We as women, we struggle with our emotions. You know, God...
Hello, hormones.
Right. I mean, God put our bodies together. He knows, every piece of our inward and outward. And when, like you said, the simple fact that we live in a broken world, we live in a broken, fallen place. And if we weren't broken, what would be the need of the cross?
Right, right. And I think, you know, I think it comes in, you know, just thinking from scripture, from a scriptural perspective, and, you know, this being one of those places where I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh and how he dealt with whatever thorn that was. It could have been any number of things. But when we know that he was dealing with something, something that was plaguing him, something that really he was having to wrestle with over and over and over again, and he asked God 3 times to take this away from him. Mm-hmm. And what was the response that he received from God? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness."
Right,
and
right.
So these places of anxiety and depression are weak places where God's grace is sufficient mm-hmm. to meet us there. That doesn't mean that there is healing. That doesn't mean that there is, it's going to go away.
Right.
But it does mean that God's grace is sufficient to meet us and to strengthen us in the places that are vulnerable and weak in our lives.
Right. And I think that, you know, going back to what you said, we can't just sweep this under the rug because this is a daily struggle. I know I struggle with anxiety more than depression. And with my anxiety, it's something that I have to deal with daily. And I sometimes just wake up and put on a happy face when it's really not there. But, you know, it's not something that I can hide or that I feel that I should hide even, you know, because my anxiety comes in different forms. And when I'm in the midst of an anxious moment, a panic attack, whatever you want to call it, there's several things that happen. And I don't know how this is for other women or men or other people, whoever struggles with anxiety and depression. It's going to look different for everybody. But I know for me, you know, it comes with headaches, almost to the point of migraines. It's fear. It's panic. It's anger. It's numbness. It's almost like I can feel my body shutting down. And, you know, to try to put on a happy face through that is difficult.
I mean, I've dealt with anxiety and depression my whole life. My dad suffered from depression. So I think it could be considered a hereditary thing in my family. And I've dealt with it since I was a teenager. And for me, you know, I tend to have bouts of depression where it's just, it's more than sadness. Mm-hmm. It's more than that. And, you know, you see all the commercials about it and they make sense and you can relate to them and you can say, oh, well, yeah, I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. I've had days where I didn't want to get out of the bed or
you want to throw up that paper smiley face
with the stick.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had those days. I've had moments of brown paper bagging it where you're breathing into the brown paper bag.
Yeah.
I have vivid, vivid memories as a teenager. My mom could probably attest to this where she had to sleep with me because I was so afraid. I was so afraid of all of the things. You know, I was so afraid of everything. I was afraid of thunderstorms. I was afraid of being in the dark. I was afraid of everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took on a different tone after I became a Christian, you know, because I thought, well, I became a Christian, so all of this stuff should just not be a problem anymore.
Right.
And I didn't understand why I was still dealing with the same stuff when it came to this specific issue. Why was I still battling fear? Why was I still dealing with depression and these thoughts of depression? Why was I still dealing with this? And it's something that I really wrestled through in my spiritual life and still do. Mm-hmm. I still wrestle with it. And I'm 33 and I've been dealing with it since I was probably 14 or 15.
And I think that the battle for those things is almost stronger, not to downplay, you know, anybody's symptoms or issues, but I think when you become a Christian and you become a child of God, it's almost like the enemy doesn't have you anymore. And, you know, he wants to continue to try to beat you up and beat up your faith and beat up your belief to the point where you give up. And that's not what God wants. That's not, right. you know, what his plan is for you.
Right.
I remember when I was younger, when I was a teenager, anxiety was very, very strong. Growing up, because I grew up in a broken home, doing a lot of the normal things that rebellious teens would do. But I remember the first time that I really remember anxiety hitting me hard was after I had my daughter, and my first daughter. And this story, when I tell it, seems so irrational. But the thing about anxiety is when you have these fears, they can be very real fears of things that could happen, or they could be fears of things that never in your wildest dreams could you ever imagine that this would happen. And I was driving through downtown Concord, and I remember she was in the back seat and she was crying. I could hear her. And I just had this overwhelming, like, I don't even know what it was. It was this overwhelming feeling of, oh my word, what if I left her in the driveway in her car seat? Like, I know that sounds really dumb, but I knew she was in the back seat. I could hear her, but it was just this overwhelming feeling of fear and panic that she wasn't with me. And it was probably one of the worst feelings that I've ever felt. But I genuinely felt this, and I had to pull over and look in the back seat just to make sure she was okay. And I've had several spouts since then, especially in motherhood, because being a mom is scary. I mean, you think of all the things that could happen, and I have strong anxiety over multiple things, bills and kids breaking their arms, and sometimes to the point where I don't want to let them be kids because I'm fearful that these things are going to happen. You know, anxiety over friendships and relationships, anxiety over just, like you said, all of the things. I'm a blue line wife.
Yeah.
That brings more anxiety than I even want to welcome into my life. I mean, worrying over my husband's job, worrying if he's going to come home at night, worrying the worst all the time, constantly.
Right.
And I know that God did not give me a spirit of fear. I know right. that I am not supposed to be afraid. But regardless, I think of the fact of being a Christian, being in God's word, anxiety is real, and right. God wants you to call on him in those times and get down on your knees and just say, I need you to hold me.
And I think scripture gives us like clarity in how to handle these situations. And I say that cautiously, and I say that carefully, because, you know, there is not one cure that is right for all
no.
people. You know, if medication helps you and it's healing for you, I believe that God gave people the wisdom to create those things to help us. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, if there's something else that works for you, I know a lot of people who use acupuncture as a way of coping and healing, mm-hmm. You know, whatever it might be that helps you and helps you find healing, I believe that he gave people the wisdom to do those things. But I also know that scripture is there for our reminder, for our healing, for our hope, that this life is not all there is, mm-hmm. that this pain we feel in this life is not all there is. And that we can go to scripture and we can go to passages like that in 2 Timothy that says that he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And we can be reminded, it was for Timothy, but it's for us as believers. We can be reminded that he did not place fear in us. And when we remind ourselves and we step back and we say, okay, fear is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that I'm really afraid of?
Right.
Is this fear rational or is it irrational?
Mm-hmm.
Could this really happen? And I'm the kind of person where one of the things that has helped me a great deal in the last few years, when I step back and I do that and I ask those questions, then I ask this question. If it's an irrational fear, then I put it in its place. It's irrational.
Right,
but if it's
right.
rational, like this could happen, then I have to ask myself the question, what if it did?
Mm-hmm.
What if it did happen?
Yeah.
What if the worst case scenario happened? Would God still be good?
Mm-hmm.
Would he still be God?
Right.
Would he still be in control? And for me, it really puts fear in its place,
mm-hmm.
and says, even if these things did happen that I am so scared of, God is still God.
Right,
and he
right.
is still good. And, you know,
and he's still in control.
Right.
You know, that's a big thing. He, like, I just want to, and I'm, this podcast, this episode of this podcast is so real to me, because I just want to give God complete control of my mind, because this truly is something that I deal with every day. And like Michelle said, there's ways that you can handle it. There's different ways for everybody. One way may not work for you if it's a way that works for me, and vice versa, but there are ways to deal with it. My husband always says that my anxiety allows me to have a stronger guard up, you know, because with everything that's on the news, with kids being taken out of the stores and stuff like that, you know, he says when you go to the store with the kids, he said it allows you to have your guard up a little bit more, because you know that that's something that you fear, that that is a realistic, real thing that could happen.
Right.
Like those are the fears that you need to say, okay, what if it did happen? Now, is it really logical that the ground is going to open up tomorrow and swallow me down into the ground and into the dirt? No, probably not. You know, those are just irrational fears, and that's where the enemy, I think, gets the foothold in playing with your mind.
And I've recently read a lot of books on the topic, like Max Lucado's Anxious for Nothing. It was very good. And then I just read Afraid of All the Things, and I will not say her last name because I will murder it. I will butcher her last name, but her first name is Scarlett. But she wrote Afraid of All the Things, and we'll tag all of these in the show notes. But her book was so good, and it was so good in light of the gospel, and it really puts those anxieties in their proper place,
mm-hmm.
and those fears in their proper place. And, you know, when I find myself in a place of fear or a place of anxiety where I'm feeling panicked or out of control of the situation, whatever it might be, I have to step back and count my thanks and say them out loud. Thank you, God, for healthy children. Thank you, God, for a healthy husband. Thank you, God, for the roof over our heads, for your mercy and your grace, and just recounting all of the goodness of God, because it puts my mind in a place of peace rather than a place of chaos. And it's just how I'm able to cope in those situations. And sometimes it takes longer. You know, if I wake up in the middle of the night after a bad dream, like I did last night, where I'm suddenly so stricken with fear and just these anxious thoughts immediately take over, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, my instinct kicks into just fight or flight, and it's panic or nothing.
Right.
And so I have to lay there, and it's like counting sheep, but counting your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the song from White Christmas, you know, counting your blessings, because when you're counting the thanks to God, when you are naming and claiming those things, you are being reminded of his goodness.
Yeah.
And it resets or refocuses your brain to a place of God's goodness and his mercy and his grace. And there's so many amazing resources out there. And we'll list some of those in the show notes that I know personally, have used personally, that have been very helpful and beneficial for me dealing with anxiety. And there's different ways that people cope with things. I'm a artsy girl, and so I know if I'm sinking into a place of depression, I love to paint, or Bible journaling is very helpful. It's very calming. Anything that's going to calm me, I have to step away from the phone. I have to step away from the work and the computer and the Facebook and all the things. I have to know what triggers me into those places. I can't do the news. I cannot do the news. And I remember...
I don't watch the news, period.
I remember someone very prominent in the church shamed me for not watching the news. And it's hard for someone to understand if they're not in the place where your mind instantly triggers to fear.
Right.
I don't want to put my mind in a place where I'm going to trigger to fear, or the enemy knows it's a weakness and he's going to trigger me to fear. Mm-hmm. So I don't watch the news, and I'm not sorry for it in any way, shape, or form, because I know it is a trigger to fear. I know I will hear about the big things if they're needed and or required.
Yeah.
So I think you have to know what triggers you. Diet is huge for me. That sounds so crazy for some people. To like, wait, what I eat? What I eat can mess with my mind?
Yeah, absolutely.
It can. Anything that is super high in caffeine, that's coming from the coffee addict, super high in caffeine, like sodas. Sodas are a trigger for me. High things in sugar are a trigger for me. Super, super, super fatty, like fast food, processed foods, they trigger anxiety for me. Like it is has something to do with the chemical imbalance and all of those things. And so I can see that my anxiety is worse if I've eaten those things, which are my favorite things.
And see, those things don't bother me. But like, I know if I have something that's too acidic, and I don't know what that is in the food that causes this, but if I have something too acidic before I'll go to bed, like pizza or spaghetti or whatever, like I can't binge on pizza at night because I will have massive, massive nightmares before, like to the point where I'm waking up and I'm sweating and I'm like punching my husband beside of me. You need to get up. You need to do something, because like it's insane. But I know last year, for me, I don't know what it was about last year, but I just vividly remember last year, my anxiety was really, really strong. And I started writing, not necessarily journaling, but what I have started to do is I have a notebook and I just write my fears out. You know, I just start with anxiety is this, and whatever the fear is that's in my head, I write it out, because it's almost like it's just getting it out of my head, verbally speaking it and getting it out onto paper. And then I can look at it and say, okay, because when it's in my head, everything's rational. Everything's rational when it's in my head. Yes, the world will collapse. Yeah, or the ground will collapse. Yes, my house is going to catch on fire. Yes, we're going to fall into a bridge. Like, all of these things are legitimate fears of mine. Heights cause me anxiety. All of these things. So there are legitimate fears that I have in my head, but when I write them down and I verbalize them, it's almost like it's a way of being able to say, okay, Jessica, really look and think about what you're saying. This is not going to happen. It could not happen in a million years. This is something that you saw on TV.
Right.
This is something you saw on Facebook.
But it's putting your fears in their place.
Yes.
It's putting your fears in their place and realizing, you know, I think the other thing, too, is when you are addressing the fears directly, you know, you are putting them in their place, but you're also removing their a power over you.
Yes.
I think too often we let fear have power over us. And then I use that word loosely. I joke that I'm becoming agoraphobic the older and older I get, that I don't like to leave the house. And that might be true. I mean, I love being at home.
Yeah, I'm an introvert.
I love being at home. And, you know, I work from home. We homeschool. So, like, everything we do is from home. I think a lot of that, over time, I have let different fears keep me inside.
And debilitate you.
Right. And so we've given fear power. We've given anxiety power. We've given depression power over us. And, you know, there are times where I teach my daughter this and she thinks I've lost my mind, where there are days where I just let what's happening in my mind know that you have no power over me. You have no authority over me. The enemy has no authority over me.
That's essentially what you're doing, is giving him rule over your mind.
Yeah.
And it's time for us to shut the enemy up and start speaking the word of God over our life.
Right, because what do? We sit there and we think up things in our head, and then when we think of one situation or scenario, then we sit there and we think about it,
mm-hmm.
and then we dwell on it, mm-hmm. and then we build it, rather than stopping the thought in its place, taking it captive, like Scripture says,
mm-hmm.
and then filling our mind with the good things, right. And
don't let it fester. Like, I think of a boiling pot of water. You know, you add a little bit of salt to that pot, and it just begins to boil and boil and boil until it boils over, and then you're left with this hot mess all over your stove.
Mm-hmm. And when you know your triggers, and when you know what triggers you or what contributes to it, then you know to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's hard for a lot of people, because for a lot of people, they may not realize their triggers. I think when you really pay attention, you really have to step away from those triggers, like TV shows.
Yes.
If you are into really scary movies.
I know, that's me.
Jessica. Or
I like the scary movies.
Even, like, I used to be a huge fan of, like, what is it, CSI, mm-hmm. and there was another one. Oh, like Law and Order SVU? Nope. Can't watch them. I cannot watch them because mm-hmm. they are a trigger to my fears.
Yeah.
And so we have to be really aware as believers of what we are putting into mm-hmm. our bodies. I mean, what comes in through our eyes, mm-hmm. what we're seeing, if we're watching horror movies and we're experiencing anxiety, there's a reason, because what you're putting into your body and into your mind is not of God.
Right.
So we have to, that sounded like super, like, I don't even know what the word is for that, but it just sounded like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't mean that like that sound. I mean, I do. You have to watch what you are watching on TV.
I know what you mean, though, because I feel the same way. Like, when I, like, for example, and I don't want to say that the horror movies don't, it's not so much horror movies that I like, it's thriller movies, which is bad. Like, it truly is, because I think about, like, I'm watching a movie of, oh, is this guy going to break into this house? Well, guess what? Then my dream that night is somebody's breaking into my house.
And if you cannot separate yourself from those things, then you should not be watching those things.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I saw that firsthand in my own life, and so I had to unrecord the shows. Like, I had to stop recording shows like that because I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't deal with it. And so that's why I'm the same girl who watches the same show on repeat. And I've seen I've seen all the seasons 100 times because yes. I know the shows that I can handle when I
stick with Friends. I just watch Friends.
When I need some like downtime. And so I think it even goes into, you can even take it even to music. Mm-hmm. You can take it to, I mean, all sorts of things. You have to know your triggers. And I think if you're really paying attention, or even asking God to show you what is triggering you to a place of fear and anxiety, he will reveal it to you.
Yeah.
And then you have to ask for him to help you lay it down.
Yeah.
You have to ask for help. And, you know, I think knowing that you need someone also that you can talk to, your husband or a friend, someone who's going to understand what you're walking through. And I think a lot of people, too, don't realize that their pastor is also a really good source, someone who you can reach out to and talk to about things like this.
Right.
Because there's a really strong chance that your pastor has dealt with this or is dealing with this themselves. So
yeah.
they're a good resource to keep you scripturally grounded. And they can also put you in touch with a Christian counselor who can really help you deal with some of the things that you have going on. Because we all need help every now and then.
Yeah.
And so they can get you in touch with someone who would be able to help you. So then the question becomes, Jessica, how do we help others?
Well, I think for me, looking at it from the inside, it's important for someone to listen to me,
mm-hmm.
for someone to realize that this is legitimately something that I'm going through.
Right.
So if you know someone in your, you know, close relationships that is dealing with anxiety and depression, don't just brush it off. If you are a young person listening to this podcast, talk to your parents, talk to someone close to you. Don't just brush this off right. as nothing. And parents or spouses or friends of people who have anxiety and depression, listen to these people when they're telling you, hey, I don't feel right. Yeah. Something is not okay.
And seek help.
Seek help.
Seek the help of a counselor, your pastor, someone you trust, a medical professional. Seek help. Don't sit in silence and and suffer with this. But seek help and don't be afraid to do so.
Yeah, because this is it's serious. This is a serious thing that plagues a lot of people. And I think the most important thing that, you know, we don't want to neglect is ask them to pray for you and ask them to pray with you. Prayer is powerful. And, you know, like we said in the beginning, just because you pray or someone prays for you or with you doesn't necessarily mean instant healing.
Right.
But I think that God can, like we've talked about, show you the triggers, show you ways to help yourself, you know, and possibly even point you in, you know, the direction that you need to go to figure out how to deal with this and how to handle this.
So we thank you for listening to this episode of the Displaying Grace podcast, where we equip and encourage women to thrive in their walk with Jesus every day. So grab your coffee
and your Bible and
let's follow him together.